welcome the lovely Kathy Gardner to bring us a message this morning. Back here again with all of you. That the Liberty Bells, that was beautiful. That was such a that was just great. to see everybody up here, and you knew when to ring your bells, and such a beautiful song. Thank you. I thought that was just so nice. It's a privilege to be back here with all of you, and I thank you for that privilege. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, is these words are spoken. I pray that you'll anoint them, Lord, and as they travel from the pulpit to the people, Lord, may they touch hearts, and Lord, especially, may they be your words and truthful words, Lord, and may they help us in every way to know who you are, to know how much you love us, and to know that you care about us in everything we do and the people that we are. Lord, we just thank you for this time together to worship you and honor you, and we give you all the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to talk about being still and knowing that God is God today. And I'm going to read Psalm 46. The Psalms often are very comforting. Sometimes they stir us, and many times they just give us comfort and peace and help us to know who God is. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. If ever there was a time when people needed a refuge and strength, would you not agree it is now? But as the psalmist makes clear, even in ancient times, people were troubled to the point where they sought a refuge. They needed someone stronger. They needed someone to lift them up and protect them and carry them through. Much has changed since those days. But much has remained the same. While we have modernized our world, sin has modernized itself to keep up. This psalmist recognized where to find that refuge and strength. It was and is God, who can provide that for everyone. He is the one who will uphold us with his strength. He is an ever-present help in trouble. The words from Martin Luther's hymn, written around 1527, a mighty fortress is our God, express these thoughts so well. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Fortresses were the usual military defense strategy when psalms were written. And this hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, was written in the days of castles. The use of these metaphors describe God as our defense. He is mighty to guard, protect, and keep his people safe. A bulwark refers to a defensive wall or fortification that is part of the fortress. So a bulwark that never fails is a wall of a fortress that can never be breached or broken into. He is our helper amid the flood of mortal ills that befall us as God's people. This is more than just sickness. These mortal ills could be any hard times or circumstances we face. As children of God, we know that he is our refuge. He is the one we can turn to in our troubles. When we are sick, when we are discouraged, when we are afraid, we can turn to God. And he will provide a safe harbor for us. He will comfort us. Isaiah 66:13 says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over all Jerusalem. He will be our strength. He will hold us in our time of need. The psalm encourages us to hope and trust in God, in his power and providence, and his gracious presence with his church in the worst of times. God is our helper in the midst of all these challenges that we face. God prevails against them as danger and harm prevail against us. Did you happen to watch the documentary on Flight 23 this week? It was on TV and I found it to be very interesting. Flight 23 was a wide-bodied, transcontinental United Airlines Boeing 767 loaded with 50,000 gallons of jet fuel. And it was headed from New York's JFK bound to Los Angeles. Carol Timmons, a general with the Delaware Air National Guard who's had a long career as a pilot, including time as a commercial pilot for Pan Am and United Airlines, recounts that on the morning of September 11th, 2001, she was the first officer on United Airlines Flight 23. The plane had already pulled away from the gate and was taxiing down the runway when the airport was shut down and the crew was ordered to secure the cockpit. I think we all remember that day, and wherever we were, that's something we'll never forget. Timmons confirmed that as the pilot grabbed the crash axe, she jumped from her seat and started barricading the cockpit door. From the other side of the barricade, the cabin crew relayed their concerns about four young Arab men in first class who became agitated when the takeoff was canceled and fled from the plane when it returned to the terminal. Box cutters and Al-Qaeda documents were found in their luggage. Timmons, the pilot, and the rest of the crew were repeatedly questioned by the FBI, though the findings were never shared. Pilot concluded that Flight 23 would have been the fifth airplane that was hijacked by terrorists if the airport shutdown had not been ordered. At the time, the story was never reported by the U.S. government. The incident was never mentioned by the 9/11 Commission in their official report, and nothing that I'm aware of was ever seen on the news. But Flight 23's pilot, Captain Manello, the first officer, Carol Timmons, and the stewardesses on board that plane validate that the information was correct and that it did happen. On that day, as Flight 23 returned to the gate, 160 passengers and six flight attendants' lives were spared. I don't have the understanding to explain why nearly 3,000 lives were lost that day. but I can tell you that 166 lives were spared. And though the reasons behind life's tragedy often remain a mystery, Scripture reassures us that God does not abandon his people. Matthew 28:20 says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And there are many stories about 9/11 that saved people's lives. That people, there was a fellow that was going to be on an airplane and he exchanged places with someone else. We don't understand all of that, but we do know that God intervened in some of those instances and that people's lives were spared. We are blessed by God every day as we walk this earth. When we have answered prayer, when we are especially blessed, when our troubles are remedied, we need to stop and acknowledge God's providence and credit Him for intervening. For even when we do not think about it, His eyes are watching over us, and His hand is upon us, protecting us. May we appreciate His protection and take time to thank Him for His watchfulness. And I heard that this morning in your prayer requests and praises, acknowledging God for protecting you, healing you, and watching over you. And that's just so important that we pray about healing and we pray about health. And then sometimes we forget to thank Him and to acknowledge that He has answered our prayers and healed us. In verse 2 and 3, the psalmist speaks about cataclysmic events and turmoil. There's conflict in nature. There's conflict with enemies, and definitely there's conflict in the world. We're not certain of the specific crisis the psalmist is referring to, but we do know nature can cause great devastation. Just this week, when a tornado went through Alabama and Mississippi, it took 26 lives at least, and there may be more. There was drought in California, and now there's flooding. Record snowfalls have shut down places in the Northeast and in the Midwest. Weather can change quickly, and our lives can change as quickly. Prophet Joel talked about changes in nature and the protection of God. He said, the sun and the moon will be darkened and the stars will no longer shine. The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the sky will tremble. But the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. The nations are in an uproar. The nightly news carries such terrible stories about the war in Ukraine, the threat of nuclear war. There are civil wars in Somalia and Syria and Myanmar, just to name a few. The Israeli-Palestinian conflict has been ongoing for centuries among the Jews and the Arabs as they struggle to gain sovereignty for their people in the Middle East. Matthew 24:6 says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. And it seems like an understatement in the world today, for so many nations are in conflict and disagreement. We fight among ourselves. We have horrible things happening, human trafficking. I was so surprised when we were traveling, you see signs that offer help if people are being human trafficked. That's terrible in this country. We see school shootings and race riots. They plague our country. This has gone on since time began, but it seems so prevalent today. Dishonesty rules. Lawsuits are filed over everything, everywhere. As Christians, we must stay steadfast. We must stay steadfast living as Christ lived. John 13:14 says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Sometimes that's very challenging to us. Yeah. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Our world would change dramatically if everyone lived by these words. Our God is not a distant God. When we cry out to him, he responds out of love for his creation. From the beginning, his tree of life was in the midst of the garden. He appeared to Moses in the midst of the burning bush. His tabernacle was in the midst of the camp, and he walked in the midst of the camp. He placed Israel in the middle of the earth. He was the fourth man in the midst of a fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He will be our defender. He will be our protector. Verse 4 to 7 refers to a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Doesn't that sound like a place that you would want to go to rest? Streams present a visual of peace and refreshment, renewal. Similarly, the river refers to the graces and consolations of the Holy Spirit, which flow through every part of the church, through every heart of the believer. We are promised the Lord shall not be moved. If God is in our hearts, if Christ lives within us, and we are guided by the Holy Spirit, as a result of declaring God as our refuge and strength, we will not fear, even in the midst of disaster and destruction. We shall stand firm. We shall be established. We shall be helped. Therefore, let us trust in him. We need not be afraid. Verses 8 and 9 talk about this. It says, come and see the effects of desolation. Come and see the effects of desolating judgments and stand in awe of God. It speaks of judgment and of God's power. He can cause the wars to cease. This shows the perfect security of the church and is an assurance of lasting peace. We'll have that someday. Let us pray for the speedy approach of these glorious days. And in silent submission, let us worship and trust in our Almighty Sovereign. Let all believers triumph in this, that the Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob, has been, is, and will be with us, and he will be our refuge. Mark this, take comfort, and say, if God be for us, who can be against us? With this, through life and death, let us confront every fear. Verses 10 and 11 talk about, it is as the psalm begins, it reassures us that God is with us and he is our fortress. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Have you ever said to your children, sit still? Do you remember your parents saying that to you? Sit still. Why is it so difficult for us to be still? When my children were young, we would play a game called Sugar Bowl. And it was a game to help them and me have a bit of quiet time and readjust. We'd sit in a circle. Everyone was supposed to be quiet. No talking, no sounds. We didn't sit long, perhaps a few seconds, when somebody would giggle, or somebody would whisper, or somebody would talk, breaking the sugar bowl. As children, it's so hard for them to sit still. But we as adults have a difficult time, especially in the world today, being still. A pastor friend of mine told me one time, he said, a good sermon is 20 minutes, and after that you'll watch people fidget, and they'll lose attention, and I think that might be true. God says, be still. We need to be still. We need to do that so we can focus on him and concentrate on him. We're in the season of Lent, and in that spirit I want to share a story that a priest shared with a group of school children. It's worth sharing. It's about focusing our attention on God and giving him the rightful place in our lives. So please understand, it's not about advocating Lenten sacrifice or the absence of it. That's a personal thing. It's a lesson taught to a group of school children to aid in understanding and the heart of the story we are sharing. He said, suppose you have your iPad in one hand, which I thought this was a priest that was really connected with these grade school kids, because I get iPhone, iPad, and iPod all mixed up. But anyway, he said, suppose you have your iPad in one hand and your favorite toy in the other, and both hands are full. He said, I come along with a bowl of your favorite ice cream, and I have a spoon with me. Now you have to choose. Will you keep your iPad and your favorite toy in your hands, or will you give those up so you can have your favorite ice cream? And so it is sometimes that we must give up or sacrifice one thing in order to focus our attention on someone or something else. It's an illustration that we're often distracted from God. The world is full of distractions, and we must make a sincere effort to spend time with Him, to pray, to read the Bible, to listen to what He has to say to us. Make no mistake, He speaks to us today. He speaks to us. It might not be in an audible voice. It might not be through Scripture, but it's in many other ways, all through the power of the Holy Spirit. He does speak to us. We must take the time to listen. We must avoid the distractions and the noise of the world. It's all around us, and we need to be still, acknowledge Him as God. He's an important being. He is the most important being, the most important person, God, in your life. And we need to pay attention to Him and His heavenly world. We must acknowledge Him, exalt Him, know His power and His sovereignty, and especially His love for us. Let us not be afraid in the world today. Take the time to listen to what God has to say. Let our hearts sing praises to Him for His divine protection, for His refuge, for His strength. And I have one final thought. I always interject my grandchildren somehow in these stories. But it was raining one day when my daughter drove up to the elementary school. And she usually walked with her son and helped him get settled into his kindergarten class. As the rain poured down, Tatum said to his mom, "You don't have to walk me in today, Mom. It's raining really hard. You stay in the car and I'll go in by myself. I got this." And with that, he took his backpack and he jumped out of the car and he ran into school, as his mom stayed safe and dry, just like God takes care of us. His mom stayed safe and dry, almost. The tears in her eyes were very, very wet. And so God says to us, "I got this. I know the outcome. I know the plan. Be still and know that I am God." Ask me if I do the closing, so we'll have our invitation hymn, which is "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." Each and every day, we need to strive to have a closer walk with God. Don't be discouraged if you fail or slip. God's still there. He'll take you back.